This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, so anyway, Joe Woods, the defensive coordinator. Defensive assistant is Matt Giordano. Senior defensive assistant is Peter Gunter. Defensive line coach is Coach Ty Grantham. Y'all know. Defensive assistant, Adam Gistrick. Linebackers coach is still Michael Hodges. You know, remember him. Secondary coach is Marcus Peterson. Pretty good coach. And the pass rush specialist is still Brian Young. So we still have the same a lot of the same defensive people. Adam Gistrick was another guy that was added along with Giordano to the team. And, of course, you look at the special teams coach. We still have Coach Darren Rizzi and Phil Galliano operating as the heads of the special team. So, pretty much, like I said, not too much shaking defensively in terms of turnover, but offensively is where you see all of the turnover with a new offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach, new running backs coach, new wide receivers coach, a senior assistant, there. You know, you see all of that happen there. So, are these the right collection of people to lead the Saints offense and team, period, to the next level? Are these the right collection of players to help out with Dennis Allen at the top? Is it? Time will tell. I think so. I really do think so. I think they finally got it right with this personnel, especially offensive, because you just need accountability, somebody that knows what they're doing. I think John Benton and Clint Kubiak, Andrew Janoco, and others will handle that business. Let me tell you something. All right, fam. So anyway, just to brief you guys to let you know that OTAs start tomorrow and it'll be to the 30th. So we'll have more on that. Tomorrow will be Tuesday's our Patreon show. So we'll be going into that. All right. So any questions or comments, fam, much love to y'all. Appreciate y'all being here. Please feel free to throw any questions or comments in the chat and I'll try to pick them up. Shout out to the family members watching the stream. Brother Wallace, I see you, bro. Shout out to you, Brother Rock. How you doing, sir? All right. Much love. Molly Mall, shout out to you. Black Major, shout out to you. T Rob, shout out to you. Will says, two best groups, cornerback, linebackers, then not sure. All right, Brother Gundam, shout out to you. Says, BQ, you call the Saints got to be mentally strong first three games. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That first five games, man, I know the Carolina game, but then those other games, man, those are going to be real interesting games. Got to watch out for it. Got to watch out for a big time. All right, Kevin says, if we look back at 2023 season, we should have had a better record. Q. Carmichael was a high school coordinator. Well, I mean, like I said, he was struggling, but it's a certain amount of blame you give to him, but it's also blame you give to the head coach. He picked that guy. So if that guy is struggling, the head coach got to go over there and say, what can I help you with? And if he's put, because a pressure is a part of it. You can't pay guys and then say, we ain't gonna put no pressure on you. No, you have to put pressure because it's pressure on everybody else. You can't operate in a bubble or a vacuum. That's the problem with the Saints right now. That's why I was saying that there needs to be and there was a show we did on the Pelican Postgame Report talking about reforming the Saints, so to speak, of reorganizing the structure of the team. Because if you look at, and maybe this would be the best thing I can do in terms of just show you guys what I mean here. Hold on, let me see if I can pull up the, here we go. Yeah, there you go. It's perfect. Right, so like I said, this is the head of the team, Gail Benson. And, you know, Tom, of course, rest in power to him. And then these are the senior executives. And this is the brass. This is the football brass. As you can look at it, you got all these vice presidents, but these are business people, man. These guys don't know nothing about no football. The highest football brains in the game is this guy. And he's both the VP and general manager. Mickey Loomis has too much power, man. That's what I was saying. It's like, well, what you mean, Q? Why would you want to kind of strip him of his. And then you see Kai Harley right here. Kai Harley's assistant general manager, vice president of football operations. We need him to go up to becoming the actual general manager. Because if you look up here, this is the problem with the Saints. Gail doesn't know football. She doesn't know football or basketball the way she's supposed to. That's a hindrance on the organization because she over-relies on what Tom Benson left her. And Tom Benson, God bless his soul, is gone. You need to, you know, he left her a bunch of people to listen to, but Gail has to have her own vision. Tom's not here anymore. She's going to have her own vision and her own people that she could trust. And I know she likes making Lomas, but you're going to have to bring people in here to set it straight because some of these guys know she don't know football and they're taking advantage of her. Dennis Lauscher is a, and this is what I was saying about reformatting the team, the highest echelon of the team. This will make the Saints more competitive and more of a serious football organization if you do this. Because Dennis Lauscher, or Lucia, I think his name is Lauscher. Dennis Lauscher shouldn't be the president of the Saints. He should be the chief financial officer. He should be the chief executive, the chief financial executive, or the chief executive officer, the CEO. You see what I'm saying? Like Gail is, they call her the governor. She's the owner and chief executive officer. They call her that. But really, she's the money leader. But that guy, Lauscher, should be more of like a chief vice. He should be like the vice chief executive officer. You got it. And then reason why I want to take the president position away from him and give him what, like make him the vice, the chief vice or whatever, the chief executive officer or the chief financial officer. Like you have chief CEO and then you have the CFO. Maybe he should be that. Maybe he can be something on that level or a vice underneath her. The reason why is I want to detach Dennis Lauscher from having the president of football operations because that's what he has. And he doesn't know, and he doesn't know enough about football or basketball. And he has the same position for the Pelicans that he has for the Saints. You see, you need to take that away from him, not take his job away, but give him a job that's fitting for what he does. He's the businessman. If you got a toothpaste or a trucking company and you want to make your trucking line the official trucking line, a toothpaste or whatever for the New Orleans Saints, you go talk to Dennis Lauscher. He's a businessman. He keep the business, the money coming. But in terms of football, the highest brain in the business is Mickey Lomas. And he's operating he's holding two positions. He has the vice president, executive vice president job, and a general manager position. He doesn't need both those jobs. I think Mickey is a very good VP. He really is. But in terms of a general manager, he's stale, and he has the line between VP and general manager has been muddied severely to the point where you can't, in most cases, you can't tell the difference because Mickey Lomas is supposed to be doing maybe being an executive VP and being a general manager could be too much. That's why he doesn't do in-season evaluation. But regardless of the point, you're supposed to know that you can't do both and relinquish that job to somebody to help out the team. And if you don't see it, Lauscher's supposed to see that by doing evaluation. Dennis Lauscher's not doing any evaluations on Mickey Lomas. At the start of the season, he said Mickey Lomas is doing an excellent or great job. Was his turn. I'm like, a great job for what? You've missed the playoffs for 3 damn years in a row. What are you talking about, good job? What are you talking about, man? But see, that's what I'm saying, because when you study, the guy is a businessman, so he's looking at the books. The books look great. Mickey's doing a bang-up job in terms of money because he's spilling out the propaganda and keeping fools paying him, as opposed to you demanding more from the team. We steadily pumping and rewarding bad behavior, which you're not supposed to do. So that's not really on Mickey as much as it is all on you. But that's why I've been telling people to stop doing that. Make them earn your money. And what I mean by earn your money is make them show that they're serious about winning by winning, and then you reward them. Like, and this stuff came out was a perfect example with the Saints paying the $11 million. That's table scraps to the Saints. The Saints, it swims in billions of dollars in the city and the state. They get billions of dollars. They get massive tax breaks. They don't pay rent. All the utilities are paid by taxpayer money. All of the stuff is controlled by unelected boards that run the convention center and the dome. And I mean, like, where these people come from? Who told you can do that? And where is that money going? That's never questions that are being asked that we supposed to be asked. That's a whole nother podcast. But you got to make people accountable. They have to be accountable. If you're accountable, they have to be accountable. There is everybody's accountable. That's the universal law. Everybody's accountable. And if you're going to take this money and these resources, you will be held accountable. You won't get away with failing us and expect us to keep funding you. That's real game and real talk. If you allow them to do that, that's on you. We have allowed so much in this country to turn upside down anyway, the politicians, the inside trade, and not get in trouble, do all this other stuff, vote themselves raises and all this kind of craziness and do all that. That's mostly the people's fault. Because we sit up there and listen to them. You ain't supposed to be listening to them. You're supposed to be checking them people every chance you get and researching them to find out what they're really doing. It's up to you to keep them accountable. You can't let them keep them accountable. No, they'll steal everything you got and lie to you and say, this is a great deal and it's a terrible deal. They do it all the time. They sit up there and say, you heard the mayor say, man, the Saints, it's the city and the state. We have a great deal going on. What great deal? For who? Like I said, man, it's all about this. My vision is to make sure, like in the end, that if you raise up our visions as a collective, we can have these people paying us, man. We really could, because the money they're taking is really your money. To make billions of dollars, you're supposed to be getting something for that shit. You can't take taxpayer money and fund a private enterprise and don't give the people that's funding you their money in some kind of way. Tickets, merch, something. I'm telling y'all, people need to wake the hell up. I'm talking truth here. But anyway, that's what I'm saying about Mickey Loomis, the whole situation and Mickey Loomis thing is he needs to give up the general manager position. Give it up. Keep the VP job. Look at the rest of these guys up here. None of these guys don't know anything about football, family. The next biggest football mind that you got is assistant general manager under Mickey Loomis is Kai Harley. You got Jeff Ireland, who runs the scouting department. I would say Jeff Ireland is probably the other guy. But really, truthfully, if you want to look at that, a guy that really should be the general manager should be Jeff Ireland. He was the general manager before with the Dolphins. He's done it at that level, and he has way more credentials in terms of that than Mickey Loomis does. But nobody's forcing him. And then Mickey Loomis said he's going to do it for the next 10 years. And Mickey Loomis is a man in his 60s. He got to be the oldest dude doing the general manager. I don't think nobody older than Mickey Loomis as a general manager of a football team right now. And the Saints let it happen because the Saints don't have enough football people at the top of the team. They're over-relying on Mickey Loomis too much. And if Mickey Loomis start tripping, the team start struggling, then he's just going to make a bunch of excuses. But we need more people up there that's younger and accountable to the people and football savvy people. They have plenty of them. We really need to reformat the structures of both the Pelicans and the Saints because there's not enough people at the top that knows their respective sports. We need more people at the top. I've said on another show, I think Swin Cash should be the vice president of basketball operations for the Pelicans. She's a winner. She's a Hall of Famer and Women's Hall of Famer. She's won Olympic medals. She won in college. She won three championships and probably won, the woman's a perennial champion, man. She wins everywhere. And we got David Griffin sitting up there. David Grifter. Man, come on, man. Come on, man. Don't let me talk about it. I'm talking truth talk because that's how you become valid, man. That's how you build a team that's worth something that can last the duration. But what we got here is people that's just making money off the family base. And it's cool to make money, but you're going to do what you're supposed to do. You're not going to just take money and don't give nothing in return but a bunch of goddamn excuses. Don't work like that. All right, anyway, shout out to the fam, man. Let me get off that. All right, what's up? What's up, LaShawn? How you doing, baby? How you doing up there? Much love to you. Good to see you, too. How you doing? Everything okay? All right, Jay Black. What's up, Jay Black? Say, if we get rid of all the crooks, there won't be. Now, it'd be an NFL, bro. It'd just be a lot cleaner. You know, it's just you got to give them a reason. You can't trust them to do it, man. They just going to bank off you, man. You know, that's how it's set up, man. You know, they think they're hiding everything. You know, all the stuff is out there. But, you know, they think you go to this school or that school and they tell you how the world really works and then lie to everybody else. It's not everybody's like that. It's a certain contingent of people that believe everything they say. But, man, listen, man, it's time, bro. It's time. It's time to change a lot of this stuff around. The people are here, man. We need to wake this up. All right. All right. Good to see y'all, man. All right. So much love to the fam. Kevin says, He says, Gale not having trustworthy successor spells trouble. State need to purchase the team they have. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. The state can purchase the team. She doesn't have an heir. She doesn't have any children. The plan was Tom Benson was to give it to Rita, which is daughter, but they're totally off of it. They would have to end up selling the team. But there's a plan in place, though. That was decided on a couple of years ago. And the NBA and NFL approved the succession plans, as they were called. You can actually Google those, the plans, and pull up the documentation. They'll show you all of that, man, the succession plans, what happened. So, yeah. All right. She said, okay, she moved to Texas.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everybody moving out there to Texas. All right, all right, all right. Shout out to you, baby girl. Good to see you. All right, Tempest says Loomis is in the Wheel of Time, and that's why she can't touch him. No, I ain't saying, well, he'll still get what he got from Tom Benson, you see, but it's her team. She has control over the team. I don't expect Gale to do anything with Mickey Loomis. That's the problem. Dennis Lauscher is not going to do anything with Mickey Loomis because he doesn't even know football like that. He'll talk it and say it such and such, but he already done given no sport. Mickey Loomis is in a position right now where he can do whatever he wants to do. He can talk crazy to the family base and Lauscher don't check him. Gale doesn't check him, you know, and the reason being is because Lauscher don't know as much as he's supposed to know. He got a position as a businessman, and that don't have nothing to do in terms of him knowing football on the field. Knowing business, that's different, but they're supposed to be a president of football operations that knows football. A guy like John Lynch for the 49ers. They got guys out there. They have guys out there we can go and find like a John Lynch. That was a player that became a part of the executive program that's there that can help the team at the highest level, that can bring a higher IQ into the building. That's what I'm talking about. But like I said, I'm showing you all these people, all these guys, these are business people. These are businessmen and women. The only guy that's not a businessman right there is Mickey Loomis. He's VP. Now, Mickey does do business too. And what he does, because he oversees a lot of things, but I think that's a problem. That's why I'm like, listen, bro, just go be the VP. Get a general manager job to Kai Harley. He's supposed to have given it to Terry Fontenot when Fontenot was up there. They should have gave it to him then. But the guy being greeted with the position, he holding on to it, and Lauscher or Gale's not forcing him to come up off of it. So, I mean, like I said, it has to happen where these are his guys. These are Tom Benson's people. Gale has to have her people too. Now, she can bring some of a person that she trusts in here just to make sure everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing. You don't just be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to trust all of these people. No, it's my team now. My team, I'm going to make a few changes here. I'm going to make a few changes, but we'll see. Devon said, no kid. What's she been doing? Well, listen, bro, sometimes it's like that, man. She was an interior decorator, and sometimes, man, Gail didn't find a match. It's like that sometimes, man. Listen, it's like that, man. Sometimes you don't find a match. Not everybody, you know, you might have a stuff like that. I ain't gonna get too explicit with it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know how this goes. She might not have found the right match. You know, and when she met Tom Benson was an old man. He was kind of, I don't know, he was past all that. He wasn't healthy, you know, he wasn't totally healthy. You know, he was kind of a older man. I don't think he was doing all that kind of old stuff. I mean, he wasn't very healthy, you know. So I ain't gonna get into the people personal life. All I'm saying is you gotta find your match. That's how it worked, you know. But it is what it is. All right. Yeah. Taylor says that's why they want John Gruden. Yeah. Well, that would be awesome to get John Gruden. I think he'll come in at the assistant coach level, like down there, like what a Rick Dennison is. Like, yeah, Rick Dennison coming in here, stuff like that. But man, like I said, I don't know. She might have one. You never know. She might have one. Hmm. You never know. Some of those folks like to keep their stuff private, man. You know, she might have one, you know. It's the death do us part, right? And the man and crowd, he done traveled up to the next level, you would hope. You know, you would hope, you know. So hoping he went the right way. All right. All right. Yeah, she said, yes, the money is good out here. Especially if you work. Okay, good, baby girl. Good to hear that. All right. Okay, you too, sweetheart. Good to hear from you. I haven't heard from LaShawn in a while, man. Good to know. Good to hear from you. All right. English says you put them on the run queue. Put them on the run queue. That's why it pays so quick. They want to be. Yeah, y'all see how fast that came up. Man, I've been telling y'all about that for years. It's very ironic. Like a lot of the stuff that we talked about, he ain't going to answer the phone, Kev. Them dudes ain't answering that phone. But listen, you don't hear from him often, Bob. But when that $11 million came up, he made sure he got one of them beat writers from New Orleans website to write an article about what happened and get his message out there. Like I said, fam, they don't want you looking into none of that. When stuff like that pop up, they hurry up and get it out of the way. They got that done very fast. When the last time you seen the Saints move that fast as an organization? When they got that paid, like as soon as it came out, it was paid the next day or the day after that. It wasn't even 48 hours. And they had that money paid. they don't want you to know about none of that. And I've been saying this for years. I remember they had reporters, beat writers, man. I want to say Jeff Duncan was a guy back in the day that used to write on that. That was old school Jeff Duncan. The old school Jeff Duncan, man, used to write about stuff like that. He really did. I don't know what happened to him. They might have lobotomized him or something, or replaced him with aliens or something. I don't know. But he used to write about that. Jeff Duncan used to write about the stuff that I would tell you about. He would write articles criticizing the business deals between the Saints and the state because they were robbing the people and the states were helping them. You know, they were getting the cut of the proceeds and they were passing this stuff off like it was a great deal for everybody. And it wasn't. But he used to talk about that. He used to break it down. They used to cover it, that it wasn't a good deal for the city such and such. They want you to spend all this money, 200 something. That's a lot of bread, fam. The Saints are responsible for like $100 million, but it was over $500 million. The Saints was only paying $100 million of it, $115 million of it, whatever it was. Who paying the rest of it, yo ass? You paying the rest of it. So how I pay for something, it ain't even their buildings. You pay $500 million to renovate the Superdome and the arenas so that they can make more money. The suites and all that. Now they're asking for a brand new arena for the Smoothie King Center. NBA is saying, well, we need the brand new. Most arenas nowadays are $1 billion. They're $1 billion. The Clippers just built this arena, this big, fantastic arena out there it was more than $1 billion. But most like it used to be like $400 million, $300 million, you know, stuff like that. It's $1 billion to build a brand new arena nowadays with all the stuff in it. Where that's supposed to come from? You? Then they leak it to the press. Oh, we want a new building. We're not viable. Then you're going to start hearing the talk about viability. The Pelicans are ranked dead last in the NBA in terms of such. You're going to start seeing that pop up. Even though you watch the games, you see the seats are packed. What are you talking about? Viability, the seats, the people packing the stadium. They're buying the gear. I remember when the Pelican black jerseys came out, the NOLA what you call it, the skeleton jerseys, the black jersey with the lime green. When that came out, they sold out. That was their most, you know, they sold a lot of that merch. And they continue to sell a lot of gear. But they don't pay a lot of taxes. They get all the concessions, all of them. All, man, listen, man. And those are locked. Like, Q, how you know? Because why else would you lock it? That's what they're locking it for. They don't want you to know that. So when stuff like that pops up, Saints got that shit paid lickety-split, $11 million quick. Go ahead and play that because they don't want you to know what they're doing. Just telling you the truth, man. I'm just giving you game, man. I'm telling y'all. But it is what it is. All right. So anyway, Kevin says, and Alex Anzalone tiptoed through the tulips, came back and played well for Detroit Q. Yeah, I know. I remember that. T-Rob says, Q, I'm ready to... So I'm just ready to see how they do these first five games. They're going to have to prove themselves to me. I'm with you. But like I said, I'm giving them, I'm going, like I said, I've told y'all the truth. I done gave y'all the truth. I done laid it out. Now, when I started seeing the things they were doing and how they were speaking in these interviews and the people that they hired, when they hired them, I went and researched them. Remember when they first talked about these people and they hired them, the Saints kept these guys away from Who That Nation for months. So what I did was, when they hired these people, I immediately started to go and do research to find out who these people were. Clint Kubiak, John Benton. So what I did was I found several clips. I ain't play everything, but I grabbed clips and put them on the sports comm and said, listen, fam, this is the guy they just hired. Listen to what he says. Put one in the chat if you remember him, me doing that. But what I was attempting to do was get a philosophy of who these guys were, because the Saints took a very long time before we finally had an opportunity to hear from a John Benton. It was weeks, months later before we had an opportunity to be able to get him. You still only got John Benton for 5 minutes talking about what the offensive line is going to do. Clint Kubiak for 5 minutes, 7 minutes here. You know, you still ain't got these guys sitting down for 10 and 15, 20 minutes at a time to explain what they're going to do. And these are some of the guys that are very important to the direction of what the Saints are going to do. Because if we know the defense is going to be fine. There is no questions about how the Saints defense will look. The Saints defense will be fine. I really do think that. The problem will be, if there is a problem, the Saints offense has to be able to not only keep the turnovers down and the miscues down, but they're going to have to score points. They're going to have to score points. They're going to have to run the football. And like I said, I don't think Derek Carr becomes this next level quarterback. I don't think that. But what I do think is that if the percentages are, if there are, because this is what Clint Kubiak said in one of his first interviews, is that he wants the Saints to be, you know, he wants to run the football. He wants to establish an identity as a, you know, a running team. This is what he was talking about in some of his first interviews with the people. So if that's indeed the case, that gives you, and if you go back and look at what the 49ers offense did, and we know it wasn't exactly a balanced offense. Like, they would run, and they would run through different formations, but then Brock Purdy would go out there and execute and do his thing out of the play action, and it was really efficient. I'm not expecting Derek Carr to become Brock Purdy and his efficiency go through the roof and he just boom, bam, beam. I just want to make, you know, I just want him to just get on time. Get on time with the running attack, make the throws when it's time to make the throws, and not stand in the pocket and hold the ball too long. And I don't think that's going to happen a lot, because Janoco and Clint Kubiak are paying attention to Carr and how long he's holding the ball. That was all this stuff that we talked about on the show with Carr last year, the progressions. We talked about his progressions. All we want, those progressions. We talked about him holding the ball too long. We talked about him staring people down on the left, and people are running either wide open or single covered on the opposite side, which is why wide receivers and players were frustrated. We've seen that on the All 22. We talked about that all the time. Now we see Andrew Janoco, Clint Kubiak, and others are paying attention to that. They are paying attention to what we talked about, because the Saints didn't pay attention to it last year. They didn't do film study like they were supposed to. I'm telling y'all, we talked about this during last year's shows and up until this. I was like, how are you doing film study every week and Derek Carr's doing the same thing that he did the week before? He's staring down people. What kind of film study are these people doing? They're not studying the film. I kept saying that. Because if you're studying the film, it's not hard to study film. You look at it and you see what you're doing and then you fix it. But Derek Carr would go and study film and never mention at all, not even once that I remember. And I've seen all of his stuff. Man, you know what? I got to stop staring down people, man. You know, I've been having a bad issue staring people down. You know I was watching over here. I was just standing down. I got to really go through my progressions. I got to stop doing that. Never said that, not once. Like, how are you studying all this film and you don't see that you are staring people down, and that you're staring people down is frustrating your wide receivers? You don't see that? And then he gets up there. I don't know why they're upset with me. What? Then that pretty much, I don't think you're crazy. I think you're not studying film. That's what I think. Not in a way what you're supposed to be doing. But that's not happening this year. These guys are coming in. They're serious. They're about setting the timing. They're about going through the progressions. They're about making sure the ball, you find the right collection of people. And John Benton says that these guys, they got the right collection of offensive linemen to operate his run block schemes. So if that's indeed the case, Benton and all these other guys are serious guys. If they feel like they got the talent, I got to go with it. So like I said, I love the way they're talking. I like the energy. I like the pace of how they're getting in and out of their sets. Even Dennis Allen talked about it. I'm just going to love seeing how things progress moving forward. But this was the foundation that we wanted to see them have. What are they talking about? What are they concentrating on going into all of this practice stuff? And when I seen what they were doing, and then Dennis Allen himself talked about accountability and attention to detail in the same sentence, which is something that he didn't talk about pretty much all of last year. And that was a big problem with the Saints, was accountability and attention to detail. So I'm very enthused about the floor in which the Saints offense sit at. So like I said, I think defense is going to be fine. I'm just focused on offense. And I think the offense, man, if they can stay serious and if they can run the football and get into the play action, I think we can have success. We won't be perfect, but we should be able to have enough success to be able to take care of business. If we're serious, we cut the miscues down, we execute like we're supposed to, and we play with a serious mentality, we should be able to take care of business.
The Sports Comb is brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.